fun, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPACGAFAIR or any of them, their guys.
Or any of the Anons.
Don't speak for the Anons either. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley's doing something strange. What are you doing?
Fringing.
Oh, she's fringing.
I'm making a tassel for this scarf. I told you earlier today that I... It's now. What's the date today? The 15th.
Yes.
I have 10 days to finish 3 more scarves before Christmas.
Okay.
So I need to like keep moving here.
Oh, are you going to multitask? Are you going to listen to what we're talking about?
I did on the last show.
Awesome. Then that means you already know
and the
topic
last show,
we're
I
doing.
Was triple tasking. I was scarving and texting and listening to your prattle.
You didn't contribute much to the first 2/3.
No,
of the show,
you didn't contribute.
I didn't have to. You guys carried that just fine.
Oh.
Bill helped.
That's the way that works. Well, we'll see. It's because I know you know what the topic is. You must have, because we just discussed it at length.
I know what the topic's on this show, so there.
There you go. Because we just discussed it, how we were going to approach it at length in between shows.
So, Bruce, how was your day today?
My day today was, it was interesting. Because
really?
Last night, I was pinging and stuff. I decided I would play a wee bit of the addictive game Candy Crush, and I put a heater in my lap pointing at me and went like almost straight to sleep. The problem is I slept in a not good position in a chair for about 4 hours.
With the heater pointed at you?
With the heater pointed at me and my legs were freezing. I woke up. I said, oh, I've been asleep a couple hours. I said, oh, my God, it's 3:51. It wasn't 3:51. It was 5:51. I got up, was dying. I go into bed. I am so cold, I can't even begin to. The dogs won't even get near me. The dog would get near me. What does Shelly do? Grabs the heated little furry blanket away from me and holds him. And I'm like,
Her,
whatever. I'm like freezing to death. She's taking the dogs away.
Because the dog was trying to bite you. I was doing you a kindness.
He didn't know the dog was trying to bite him. His legs were frozen.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
He should have known because the dog was going, "Hurr!" Because the dog was like, dude, this is my warm bed. Get your cold butt out of here.
It's my warm side of the bed. So that's how my day went.
Oh, okay.
But I did sleep in. And my guy had a good day at work today, so I'm happy. Scheduled 783 deliveries for tomorrow, though.
Perfect.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, there's
now, are you working tomorrow?
What's wrong with that?
No.
I'm available after 2.
There is really loud noises coming from next door.
Closing something next door.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the door is on a slider thing. So maybe that's what it was. So, do anything, Mark? Got anything to banter about?
Started packing.
Oh, yeah, you're moving.
That's right. Yes,
yeah, I'm moving
move.
In 2 weeks.
To a freshly redone place, right?
I am.
Can't go wrong with that.
Some friends of mine didn't realize that their job was going to transfer them. Just got done completely remodeling their home.
Damn.
Now they have to move. Same size as the house I'm in now. The rent was a bit cheaper.
And everything's redone.
Everything's brand new.
Sounds like a plan to me.
I'm moving. So everybody grab your trucks in 2 weeks and meet me at my house.
2 weeks? That's Christmas.
Yes.
He goes, Christmas Day. We're moving.
Nope, day after.
Really?
Weekend after.
Oh, well, I'm in the clear then. I got to work.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe we can get
Actually, I couldn't lift anything anyway. I'm not supposed to.
Maybe we can get the drivers to go out and help you or something.
Yes.
That might be handy. Oh.
I can't drive a truck. So I'm kind of a liability for you, actually.
No, you can drive a truck. I know you can because you drove one with your brother cross country.
I was not allowed to drive that truck.
Shelly, you're always of value no matter what you can do.
Just stand around and look decorative.
That's right. Point a lot. Organize.
Well, from that means it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Our deuce kind of dragged in the middle there.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully it didn't take too long, because we had the one guy said our deuce went too long.
Yeah.
All 4 seconds of them.
Yep, I'm sorry, those were 6-second deuce.
Oh, wow, that's horrible.
Okay.
I got some news. My knee pops every time I stand up and sit down. There you go.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That guy is going to... I feel really bad for that guy that said that the deuce take too long, because now he's going to be the butt of the joke for... God knows how long, because we know how long you go on with jokes.
No, it's not like I would ever retell a joke.
Tell him to quit screwing with your dudes.
Leave my dudes, leave my dudes alone, man.
Okie dokie. This next story is from Phil. And I'm trying to remember where the heck this story was. Somewhere named Streamwood.
Near what? Streamwood.
Streamwood is the name of the city.
I'm getting water and trees in my mind.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe someplace in the Midwest. I'm not sure. I know I had it at one point. But
Pacific Northwest, I'm thinking.
Anyway, let's see. A motorist driving along.
I hope he was paying attention, not just going.
Well, if he was, he was slurring his speech while he was going. Because he had one too many to drink.
He's all Foster Brooks.
You sure he had one too many?
Probably two too many.
Okay.
He got mad because he was swerving all over the place. He cut someone off, and the person honked and yelled.
Uh-oh.
So he got ticked off and decided to follow the person home. The guy's name is Joseph M. Maloney. He's 52 years old.
The guy that followed, or the follower?
The drunk follower.
The follower, the drunk, or the
follower. And he followed the sheriff's wife how far?
It wasn't the sheriff's wife, but he followed this guy and the mother the name is not given for the victims. I don't think so.
The victims. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Rooster Monkburn.
He followed them for miles till they got to their home. Now, my dad, when I was a kid, my dad taught me that if I believed I was being followed by somebody...
Drive to the police station.
Drive to a police station, or better yet, a fire station, and don't get out of your car and lean on the horn. They will come out to find out what is wrong.
They will do that at a police station, too. And but they come out with guns on their side.
And worst case scenario, go to a 7-Eleven and run inside.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
What are you doing?
Police station.
Anyway, so why they let this guy follow them home, I don't know. But he was so mad at them, he tried to, once they got out of the car, he tried to run them down. They ran away, and he missed. So then he circled around, drove over all the neighbors' lawns, and tried to run them down in their front yard.
So who came out and shot him?
Nobody. He missed again. They finally managed to get in the house and called the police. The police picked him up on a DUI charge. An attempted vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yep.
But, he did this like 3 or 4 times trying to run them down. I'm thinking, first of all, why they let him follow them home, I don't know. Second of all, why did they stand around on their front lawn like sitting ducks?
Sounded like a game to me. Hey, let's play drunk dodgeball.
I think it probably happened quicker.
Well, no, he had to drive down the street and turned around and then drove over all the neighbors' lawns.
Guy brought a big red cape out.
While they were watching him drive across the neighbor's lawn, they couldn't have run in the house?
You would think.
That would take all the fun.
Wait.
That would take all the fun out of it.
Didn't you say the guy and his mother? Maybe she was
it was a man and his mother.
Okay,
it says in the story.
A man and his mother. So you got a 50-year-old guy with a 90-year-old woman. He's trying to get her into the house. She's hobbling. She's got her walker. Why did you run in the house? The woman with the walker's like, oh, my God, here he comes again.
All right.
That'd be horrible.
Running like a Walmart employee.
Jeez.
A live chicken on the floor.
50-foot shuffle.
I did not write down who sent Uh-oh. Phil sent us that story, but oh, maybe Phil sent us this one too. We're in Seattle. And a while ago, we did, I think we did a blurb on the Seattle cop who was disciplined for his drunken off-duty behavior.
Yes.
He was at a game and was completely belligerent. And when he was taken to task by security, he attempted to put them in a headlock. He attacked security. They called the police. And then he attempted to attack his fellow police officer. So he got busted. Huh. That was a while back. He's in trouble again.
What did he do?
Same
now?
Guy?
Same guy.
His job's gone now.
Yeah. Well, not only is he in trouble, but the cop that pulled him over is in trouble.
For letting him go?
Yes.
Ooh.
Because he was pulled over on suspicion of DUI. He was way too drunk to drive, apparently. Although his BAC is not listed in the story.
Which makes you too drunk to walk also.
Yeah. But the police officer...
Not too drunk to sit, though.
The police officer that picked him up, that pulled him over... allowed a relative to come and pick him up and take him home.
That was nice of him.
Yes. So now the officer is under investigation as well. What are you doing?
I was just looking to make sure we were, because the
I'm covering up the bleepy thing.
Oops. Yes, people, that's our technical terms right there.
Oh, but now I can't see the...
Why don't you just drag that over to the side there? We have this gigantic computer panel. You guys have no idea. We've got a 36-inch computer screen. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's okay. Thought-controlled. That's right. Why when Shelly's watching, every once in a while, it just goes to some book somewhere.
I think I'll skip that one for now.
When I'm looking at the damn screen, it goes to, like, Debbie Does Dallas or something.
Okay, Bill sent this story in. Bill, who's sitting right here with us.
Sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
A former employee of the Child Support Services in California.
Are they former as a result of the story?
Yes.
Nice.
He pleaded guilty to stealing $360,000 worth of ink cartridges.
What the hell?
Apparently he needs to print out a lot of crap at home. I can't imagine what. It took him three years.
He's got a regular inkjet printer is what the problem is.
Yeah, it took him... No, was it 3 years that he took him? Yeah, 3 year span is how long it took him to steal more than $250,000 worth of ink.
Well, he was selling them because you know what? If you have like an inkjet printer, they're like $30-$40 a cartridge. Is he a dope guy?
It doesn't say.
His
name is
Rommel
Asuncion.
Rommel?
Rommel.
Like the German
yes.
general? Really?
Yes, Rommel Asuncion.
Oh, so he's from Argentina or Brazil.
The board, the city, the whichever, San Diego, the board is trying to determine whether or not they should take away part of his pension.
Take away all of his pension.
To repay this. Now, what
part
I
of his pension is $250,000? Part of his pension is $250,000?
I guess so.
Wow.
Good pension.
Yeah. CPS.
Well, they're also charging him. He has to pay $363,000, which is more than the cartridges were worth in restitution. And they want to take away some of his pension.
They should take away his pension to pay off, and then when they've used all that, then he should still be required to pay the rest.
But they're already charging him with paying the rest and taking his pension.
That seems excessive.
That's.
I mean, the pension is his money.
Can't mess with a man's pension.
Yeah, but the pension... Well, here's the problem.
What's the
pension is not going to cover the amount that he took anyway, I wouldn't think.
I know, but if they're requiring him to pay it back and they're also going to take his pension, that seems a bit much.
If that's the way that plays out, that would be much. But my feeling is that the reason they're taking his pension is to recoup some of that immediately. Because the guy is now unemployed. It's going to be difficult to recoup $360,000 from him. Matter of fact, you're not going to be able to. So what are you going to do? You're going to take his pension, and you're going to attach his wages wherever he works after that.
Okay, Bill said the next story, too.
I let him keep his pension. I'd hook him up to machines when he was ready to die and keep him alive for years in misery so he could continue to pay from his pension.
Nice. Jeez,
keep him alive till $363,000 have been paid back.
Nice.
Bill also sent in the next study.
Uh-oh.
Which is, it's a good, it, you know, it's a stupid study.
Is there money available for this?
Yes. Well, it's not really a stupid study. It's kind of not, actually.
We'll be the judge of that.
But, you know, if your diet is really lacking in arsenic, now we know how you can get a more significant source of arsenic into your diet.
Yeah. Why would I want, isn't arsenic poison?
Yes. And apparently, long-term exposure to arsenic.
Marry my ex-wife, you'll gladly take the arsenic.
Long-term exposure to arsenic can come from consuming alcohol, Brussels sprouts.
Well, I have plenty of arsenic in my system then.
And dark meat fish.
Dark
sushi.
Meat fish.
Tuna, salmon. Yeah.
Well, albacore is white meat. Albacore is white meat.
Albacore is tuna.
Yeah, but tuna is red meat.
Albacore is tuna.
Albacore is tuna.
I know, but albacore is white meat. It's white. I've eaten it many times.
Full of arsenic.
You don't get much whiter. Yeah, but I mean, how is it a dark meat sushi when it's white?
He just doesn't
want to give up the albacore.
Hell no.
There's no reason to.
Yellowtail is also white.
Well, what I found interesting about it is they determined how much arsenic was in the system by testing people's toenail clippings. Apparently, arsenic expresses itself in the nails. So save your toenail clippings and get them tested if you like to eat sushi all the time.
So if you eat more sushi, does it get rid of toenail fungus because it's killing the fungus with arsenic?
It doesn't say anything
Yay!
About that.
Yay! Yay!
Oh, brother. And we also have this one. This might have been Bill as well. This is a Bill news. And this was really sad, and frankly, I think that United gets the big raspberry for this one. In Honolulu, Hawaii, well, the end result, and the destination was Honolulu. World War II veteran Ewald Schatz was bumped from his United Airlines flight because the plane was overweight. So they bummed a bunch of passengers, even though he told them he had been invited to attend the remembrance ceremony as a special guest because he's one of the last surviving, people that was there. And they said, they didn't care. He got bumped from the flight. But we also have a kudos to American Airlines, who hustled him onto a flight really fast and got him there in time for the ceremony.
Now, who was the original airline?
The original United. One was United.
I was going to say what would have been the killer hero of the week is the guy that said, I'll give him my seat.
Yeah, apparently nobody did that. I would have.
They probably didn't
totally
know.
I totally would have given him. Yeah, they probably didn't know. Because he was just trying to get.
But American Airlines? Kudos.
Just think if he'd have caught a flight on Japan Air.
Oh.
JAL. J-A-L.
However,
just saying.
Hot stewardesses.
However, he did apparently, I'm assuming from the story that he contacted them to let them know he might not be able to make it. When the veterans in Honolulu found out that he did get there, that he was on the American Airlines flight, they showed up at the airport en masse to give him a hero's welcome.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yes. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
I'm off of my dudes.
What is wrong with you guys? Got some weird ass dudes tonight, let me tell you.
Shelly, let's show them how it's done.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Yes. We are back.
I thought maybe I might catch her off guard.
No. Can't catch Shelly off guard.
Shout out
to Sober College?
Okay. Oh, the New Way Foundation.
Oh, New Way. I did this wrong like two shows ago, too.
Oh, my God.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
At selfwillhappens.com.
Okay, phew.
Now, Shelly, of course, knows what the topic
is,
so let's hear it, baby.
I'm going to need a bulldozer. I'll run right over you. You can be the wreckage of my presence.
Ooh.
Be the wreckage of your Christmas presents.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She's going to clear you away.
I better be nice then. I want my Christmas presents.
So, Shelly,
yes.
How did this come up?
We have a friend in the group whose initials are MR.
Yeah, we're not going to give the first name because it's such an unusual name that A, we don't know how to pronounce it, so we don't want to look like idiots, and B, everyone would know who it is. I'm positive you could look up that name on Facebook and probably find the person.
Yeah, so we didn't want to blow any anonymity there, and I didn't want to hurt her feelings by not knowing how to pronounce her name. I'm sorry. Yes, she mentioned it as a show topic, you know, cleaning up the wreckage of your past. How do you go about that? What's your experience with that?
There you go. I guess we are referring to step 9, which we talked about not that long ago, but a while ago. There was, you know, it's been quite a few shows ago. And do you think she's just asking? Was she just asking in general?
Well, no, she's going through some stuff, you know, cleaning up some last little bits of her wreckage.
Yeah.
And it brought it up in her mind.
Well, good for her. Good for her. And get well soon.
Yes, she's not been feeling well.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Bill?
First thing, talk to your sponsor. Yes, you need to really, really check and go through it with your sponsor. You can cause a great deal more wreckage trying to correct wreckage than you ever intended. And that's what sponsors are for.
That's Mark and I have discussed many times. Don't clean your side of the street while
setting the other side of the street on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bulldozer, not a flamethrower.
Yeah. Like, hey, Jim. Sorry I slept with your wife. You did what? You did what?
Dude, don't judge me. I'm making amends.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Don't judge me.
I'm all better now. I'm all better now. Good luck.
But your wife might want to see a doctor.
Oh. Wow. Shelly went there.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know, it was Shelly that went there, not me. Well, and
anything been itchy lately?
And certainly, my experience with amends has been that the ones that I think are going to be the hardest ones, A, I tried to do as many of those ones first as I could. I did one amend, which was like a nothing amend, just to like get it under my belt, so that when I went to the first person I really had to make amends to, I can say I've been going around making amends because I'd already done one. But I went to the ones that I really thought I was going to jail for, or there would be a good chance I would go to jail for. My sponsor kept telling me, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. And I wondered this one day. I did not have to go to jail. There has to be many instances in the program, because I know guys that have gone and done time for clearing up the wreckage of their past. So it certainly happens. Fortunately, it did not happen to me.
Well, you know what they say, 9 out of 10 times, the unexpected happens.
That makes it expected. I'm sick of hearing that.
That's why I throw it in whenever I can, Shelley.
I know.
I love when there's a thing and it says something like, 9 out of 10 dentists say that you shouldn't eat so much sugar if you want to keep your teeth in. And it goes, the 10th dentist saying, yeah, just chow down on the sugar, man. It's good for your teeth.
10th dentist say, I have a special on fillings.
The 10th dentist has to make his Porsche payment.
Wow. So, Shelley, amends. Bulldozer. Because, you know, you of all people, you needed a caterpillar. Big cat.
Yeah. I did?
We're just assuming, knowing your kind of background and your type of alcoholic.
I had a couple of amends that I wasn't real thrilled with the outcome, but most of what I did was, you know, I apologized to people. I explained, you know, that I was very sorry that I did this and listed the things that I knew that I had done wrong so that it wasn't just like, gee, I'm sorry for whatever I did to you. You know, that sort of thing. But then amended my behavior with those people because these are ongoing relationships. You know, and then the people that were in my past.
F them.
Well, no, there was only one person that even remembered what I'd done.
Yeah,
was it the guy?
There's a lot of that out there.
Was it the guy? The one you slugged?
No, actually, he had no memory of that.
The one you slugged on the date?
No, it wasn't on a date.
Oh, it wasn't on a date? You just slugged him?
It was a we were at school, and I thought he had grabbed my backside.
You know why? So you know why he doesn't remember that? Because people at school immediately started dogging him for that, and he said that never happened. That never happened. And like 30 years later, he's like, "No, that never happened." You're like, "Yeah, I kicked your ass." Let's go. No, you
that
didn't.
That never happened.
You should apologize publicly on Facebook to him or something. And all his friends will be going, so she did kick your ass, you bastard, you lying bastard, burning down his side of the street.
Oh, brother. No, I did have a lot of that. Gee, I don't remember that, but I'm glad. And actually, I made amends to somebody. She's still on my friends list, actually, who is, I do not believe, is in the program, but has definitely done something in terms of recovery, just judging from language that she uses and stuff like that. And not only did she not remember, but she said, well, it's good to see that you're on your 9th step. I'm glad you're making progress.
Wow. I was in a meeting one time, and a guy, we used to call him Woody. This guy was an Indian guy. I see him at a meeting, and I'm like, oh, shit. Because the last time I saw this guy, I think I had burned him for like a quarter ounce of cocaine or something. And, you know, and I was not far along in the program. I was not on my 9th step, but I said, it'd probably be better to get this out of the way right now. And I went up to this guy and I said, oh, man, Woody, I'm really sorry. I said, as you can see, I've been coming to meetings. I'm a coke addict, man, and I burned you for that coke, and I feel so bad. He goes, don't worry, bro. I have 4 days sober. And he was in that flush of new. And he goes,
cloud.
Don't worry about it, man. I got 4 days sober, and that's the past. The past is the past. And I shook his hand. I said, thanks, man. Then I never saw him again. And I said, sweet, one down. I was like, I thought he was going to want to kill me or something. And he was just like so overly happy to be sober for 4 days or 5 days. It was kind of reminding me of the section where they're talking about in the big book of couples getting back together. And in the flush of getting back together, everything seems great. Until one of them angrily cast the ashes about. That's what I thought he was going to do. How about you, Mark?
Well, there's a part that says, accept when to do so would injure them or others.
So or yourself.
Here's my question. If you're married and have children.
Yes.
And you get sober. And you need to go clear away the wreckage of your past. And there's something you did that may land you in jail. You landing in jail would mean you would not be able to provide for your family. Would that be considered injuring others?
Well, probably. I mean, it would be considered injuring others.
So do you not have to make that amend?
Well, the big book says you should be willing to do it if you're... You should be willing to go to jail if necessary.
Except when to do so would injure them or others.
It also says in the big book, when they were talking about that one story about the guy that swindled that the other guy out of money and then made it sound like the whole town thought
right.
that the other guy was lying, that he consulted with his wife and family first before deciding what to
That's
do.
That's true. That's true.
And his wife thought that it was important enough to his recovery that he needed to come clean.
That's actually a very good point, honey. Can you get a job that'll support everyone in case I'm gone?
In case I have to go to jail.
She was just fine with him doing that, unless, of course, it would have turned out differently because women have been known to change their minds after the fact.
Especially when the guy's in jail and he's like, "You bitch! I could have just not made it.
Yeah, I could have just like promised never to do it again.
I could have blown that particular one out."
Well, and on that in that vein, what have you done when amends went wrong? Did you do anything?
Well, what do you mean by when amends went wrong?
When amends go sideways.
When amends go sideways. Well, I'll give you an example. One of the amends that I made early on was to my now former boss. And, well, at the time, she's my former boss, too. And she not only did not accept my amends, she's got me alone in the conference room and gave me the dressing down of my life about how I broke all my promises, and I didn't do – and the fact was actually I had gotten perfect employee reviews. She was mad because I moved to a different department, and she was using that as a way to be pissed at me.
And this was the one whom wanted me to help her son.
Yes.
And I tried to help her son.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
And
she owes me an amends. I hope she starts drinking tomorrow.
She
drinks alcoholically, then gets sober. Then has to come someday to make an amends to you and I. Oh, ow.
You need to write about this.
You know what we like that? You know what we like to call that? Karma. Actually, I've never thought about it until you just brought up. You apparently think about it on a regular basis.
Well, no,
but
I was
thinking
about it because it kind of went wrong in one sense because after the fact I kind of went, okay, well, there's not much I can do about that. I made my demonstration, as it says in the book, and I went on with things. But then later on, I worked at that same position again, you know, years later, and she's still in the position she was in. And it made things a little uncomfortable for a while until she left.
Yeah, see, now for me, I got to tell you, I don't think I had, and, you know, I don't want to make it like, ooh, it would be this one for everyone. I don't think I had a single amends that went sideways. Not a one. And that may be the exception rather than the rule. Just me personally, I never had one that went like horribly bad. So, Mark, did you?
I had one. I ran into a friend of my father's, and I had appropriated some funds that he made the mistake of leaving on his desk when he walked out of his office. So I made amends to him. I told him it had happened, and I had 20 months sober at the time when I ran into him, and I told him, I said, well, I have 20 months sober, and he said to me, yeah, well, come back to me when you have 20 years.
Did you go back when you had
20
years?
Yeah, when I had 20 years, I found him, and I took him to lunch, and I told him what an impact that had when he had said that to me, because I called him as soon as I got 20 years.
You tell him, you're the only reason I got 20 years. Now I'm going to freaking go out.
But
you bastard.
I told him, he didn't remember it, of course. But he thought that was really something that I remembered it. And
isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And I've shared this before on the show.
And I had taken like $300 off his desk. And at the time I made amends to him, I didn't have the money to pay him. I told him about it, and he made the comment he made. So when I met him for lunch, I took him to lunch, and I gave him the $300. And he goes, you don't have to do that. He goes, I said, you know what? I really do.
He goes, you don't have to do that. What you have to do is give me the $300 plus 20 years of interest. That's what you really have to do.
He was going for another 18 and a half years of interest. That was why he put me back. No, but you know, he said it's amazing. He goes, because I remember how you were those last couple years, that how worried about you your parents were, and just, you know, he goes, just because I had known him since I was a kid, So he had watched the total transformation.
And it's weird, the people that forget. And I'm sure I shared this on the Ninth Step show, so I won't go into it in big detail, but I had a guy that I had ripped off for some weed. I found the guy. The guy requested me as a friend on Facebook. He was a college friend. I said, well, I'm really sorry that I ripped you off for that weed. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he goes, but the fact that you've been thinking about that for the last 30 years, he goes, I'd say your amends has been made. He goes, because you've probably – and it's, I'm like, well, it's not like I think about it all the time, but, you know, I think about it every time I go like the Willamette University site, or I go to my Delta Zeta chapter of Sigma Chi site. I would think about that.
Yeah. Have you ever done this? Because I did this one time. I had a guy – I had a sponsee, did his eighth step. And he had an issue from about 6.5 years earlier that was a possible problem, and I recommended he wait about 6 months to make the amends.
Past 7 years. Well, and you know what? To be honest with you, when I did my amends for, I had lifted a significant amount of jewelry from a store that I worked at, and I was well past. I was well past 7 years on that, but when I went in to make the amends, the guy was so shocked that I would come and turn myself in. He's like, wow. He's like, I've heard of this happening before. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, my uncle, or I think it was his uncle, was in the program. And he's like, I've never seen anything like that happen. He goes, I can't believe you'd come in and tell me that you lifted all that. And he goes, now, the insurance paid for all that. He goes, but I got to tell you, the fact that you came in, you're willing, you know, and I thought I was going to jail. My sponsor said, I'll wait for you outside. And I'm like, yeah, well, if I don't come outside, can you bail me out? And he's like, I'm not going to have to bail you out. And I'm like, yeah. And I was positive I was going to prison. And it didn't happen. So, Bill?
Yeah, amends going bad.
I'm guessing Bill had one.
I had a good one. I was doing my ninth step, had talked it over with my sponsor, and got together with a certain person. I don't want to have to make more amends, so I won't mention who that person was. But let's just say I got called everything but nice. Mm. And I was basically thrown out and told never to darken their door again. And the thing is...
But, Mom...
Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
thing is, the amends is not for the for that person.
Correct.
The amends is for me.
Right.
You know, and that's where
you
I
did
had
your
to,
part.
I did my. I
cleaned
my
your
side
of the street.
Yeah. So that's what I did.
Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on Bulldozer be?
Well, part of what I think human beings in general should do is to tread lightly on other people's lives.
And carry a big stick?
No.
That's walk softly. Sorry.
Yes. And too often, well, I can only speak for myself, but when you know we're in the disease, we're not treading lightly on anybody's lives. We're stomping through with our size nines and kicking the dog.
Wow.
Tread lightly and tie your shoes tight now.
Yeah, and that once we start making our amends, it's not enough to just make the amends. I have to continue with all of these people that I've made amends with to attempt to tread as lightly as possible in their lives. Sometimes, for me, that means knowing I don't want to make a 10th step, so I keep my mouth shut to avoid hurting them. You know, I'm always very conscious of that. And sometimes I make a mistake, and I just try to correct it as soon as I can.
Bill, what would your final words on Bulldozer be?
Oh, boy, here. I didn't think you would be calling on me again for final words, but again, clear it through your sponsor. Don't rush out. Don't do the 1, 2, 3, 9, that dance, you know, the cha-cha, 1, 2, 3, 8th and 9th step. So that's what I say. My final words.
Mark.
Yes.
Final words on Bulldozer.
You need to do your ninth step, and you'll know as you're moving through your ninth step it's going correctly because the promises will begin to come true for you.
Ooh, good one. I would say that the keys to the Bulldozer belong to your sponsor. And when your sponsor thinks it's ready, I think you go get in the Bulldozer, you turn it on, and you bulldoze right through as many of those amends as you can find and the people you can find until you complete as many as you can. I also believe that the step nine is one that is almost impossible to completely finish because there's some people it's just very, very difficult to find. But if you plow through, if you use a bulldozer, you plow right through all those amends, you will be well on your way to the promises that Mark mentioned. Mark, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery center or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he will send you some hard copies to strew about the facility. And if you are interested in a franchise, as someone out here in the IE has done, contact Bruce. He'll give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Awesome. Shelley.
Yes.
People are listening to the show.
Any way that you listen to the show, thank you. We really appreciate that.
We do.
But if you could go to our site, recovery101.net, and click on one of the shows, and then click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've been counted. That helps us with our numbers. Thank you very much. If you're not, you can become a member. It is free.
And fun.
You can leave topics and comments. Topic suggestions and comments. If you leave a topic suggestion, please leave it on one of the newer shows so Bruce sees it really easily. You can also follow us. That will give you automatic updates of when we post the show. And you can put us on your playlist for all your hot party needs.
Sweet.
Whoop, whoop.
I may not be completely correct about this, but I believe that now, if you are not a member of Podomatic, I think just going there may encourage you to sign in with Facebook. If you sign in with Facebook, it is so fast and so quick and so easy because it's just going to get the little thing that's going to allow you to use your same password.
Caveat, though, and also I should have put this on the last show because Facebook has changed its settings again. If you sign into Podomatic with Facebook, any show that you are following or download or listen to will show up on your timeline. So if you don't want that on your timeline, you need to
create an account.
Well, no,
it's not associated with Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. You don't use your face. I wouldn't recommend using your Facebook to sign in for anything because there's a lot of sensitive information on your Facebook account.
Unless, well, I was going to say, unless if you only follow us, then it would only put our show on your page.
I know, but what if somebody doesn't want the whole all their friends list to know they're listening to a recovery-related show?
Can't you block it on Facebook?
I was just about to say, you would have to change your settings on that particular app to be only me, so that when information from Podomatic comes on, it comes up to only you. And, in fact, the members of our group can, although what you say in the group doesn't show up on your newsfeed. The fact that you're a member of the group will probably, or that you've liked it or whatever.
The Recovery 101 group.
You can hide those likes from your timeline.
Shelley, our resident Facebook expert.
Yes. I'm just trying to let people know how to, you know, stay anonymous.
And by the way, if you are Facebook friendly, you can like our Recovery 101 radio fan page. Like Shelley mentioned, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That's a little more anonymous for you. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62. I'm going to go on record right now and say that I've got a New Year's resolution that we start doing some new videos to put up. So, Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
I think I would like to use Three Dog Night.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
And
keep coming back.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain, with the rain and shine by love. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame.
Shine in the halls of Shambhala.